today on It's Time.
But you see, Joseph was a true man of God. In fact, I've shared this before. There's only two people really in the Old Testament that didn't have some kind of a faux pas in their life. And that was Joseph and Daniel.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going through the book of Genesis. So, turn there in your Bible and follow along with Pastor Mike.
It's time for these wounds to heal.
If you have your Bible this morning, I'd like to invite you to open them to the book of Genesis chapter 42. When we look at this in the Bible today, it is interesting to me how God can use any circumstance and turn it around and bring about his purpose. And that's what we want to look at today. So importantly, is in chapter 42, this is where Joseph's brothers that sold him into slavery, now, because there's a famine in the land, Pharaoh listened to what Joseph said concerning a dream of the seven fat cows and the seven scrawny cows, and the scrawny cows ate up the fat cows, and they were still scrawny. We remember that Joseph said, "You've dreamed a dream about a famine. We're going to have 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine, and it's going to be so bad that at the end, it will gobble up everything that we saved." And so the famine was widespread. It had now spread throughout the entire region. And Abraham's descendants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there in the promised land, was affected by it as well. And so Jacob takes and looks at his sons and he says, "We're going to starve to death. We need bread." Now, it's interesting, we've been looking at, as you go through, you can see the parallels between Joseph's life and Jesus's life. Without bread, they were going to starve to death. Without Jesus Christ, the bread of life, your spirit will starve to death. And you'll see these interesting parallels all the way through. Before we read, let's pray. Father, as we go to your word today, we just ask you now that your anointing would come on your word. And Lord, that these words would not be just ink on paper, but they would come alive by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, that you would speak to us these things and cause us to remember these things. And so, Holy Spirit, come now in your special way, anoint your word, anoint us that we would be more like Jesus. Amen. Now we find again his rascal brothers. If you remember, his brothers got together. They were jealous of him. Joseph said, "I had a dream and all you guys bowed down to me." And oh, their heads popped like pimples. I mean, they were angry at what Joseph said. And they said, "Let's get this guy, let's kill him." And they said, "No, let's not kill him. Why don't we just sell him into slavery? Here comes a group of Midianites, and they're going down to Egypt, down to a swap meet, and they can just take him down there and sell him as a slave, and he'll be out of our life." So that's what they did. So Joseph is gone. They took his coat of many colors, dipped it in blood, presented it to the father, and said, "Look, Joseph is dead." Well, Jacob was in great grief over this. And for 20 years, and that's how long it was from the time they sold Joseph into slavery till now at this point, 20 years had gone by. And I can just think about the guilt that ate these brothers up over those many years. Imagine seeing your father. The Bible says, as we're going to read in this chapter, he was grieved about it all every day of his life. And imagine those brothers looking at their dad in grief, believing that his son was killed by an animal, when in fact they harbored a family dark secret that they sold him into slavery. Well, chapter 42 starts out. And by this time, Joseph is now prime minister in Egypt because he interpreted Pharaoh's dream about the skinny cows and about the fat cows and about the grains of wheat. And he said, Pharaoh, what you need to do is you need to get a man who's full of wisdom, and you need to start storing up grain. And Pharaoh was so impressed with Joseph, he said, where can I find anybody as smart as you? You be my prime minister. And he said, you'll be right at my right hand. And it's interesting, Joseph, as a Christ type, we know that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. And so again, when we look at this, chapter 42. And when Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, why do you look at one another? I don't know if this hits anybody as a weird verse, but this hits me as a weird verse. He goes, you know, there's grain in Egypt. Why are you sitting here staring at one another? I believe the very word of Egypt probably wreaked terror into these brothers' lives. They know that that's where he was going to be sold. And this phrase in the Hebrew seems to indicate they were gawking at one another like in fear. His father didn't know. Hey, I heard there's grain in Egypt. Why don't you go down there? Why you just sit here looking at each other? Well, they didn't want to go to Egypt. That's where they sold their brother. That's where their guilty conscience was. And by the way, as a Christian, your guilty conscience will always be in Egypt. Because you see, Jesus took us out of Egypt. You know, there's a lot of Christians who live in the past. There's a lot of Christians that don't understand what great things God has done for them. And because of that, their past paralyzes them, even as Christians. I talked to a psychologist who used to go to our church years ago. And he said, if I could get my clientele to forgive themselves of their past, I'd lose 90% of the people that come and see me. Why is that? And why can't we forgive ourselves? Well, first of all, generally speaking, we're guilty. That's why. There's all kinds of stories about people who do weird stuff in recompense, trying to make up for it. This guy writes to the IRS. I read this story in one of the commentaries. He said, this guy writes to the IRS. He said, I've cheated the government. I can't sleep at night. Here's $100. If I still can't sleep, I'll send you more. Well, that's kind of funny. You stop to think about it. Think about the things that we've done wrong in our lives and how it does affect us and how it causes us. And in fact, sometimes when things have been done against somebody else and we go into a store and we look across the store and there they are, we go, and you want to run out and go somewhere else. Guilty conscience is a bad thing to have to live with. And you'll find that your Egypt experience will always keep you paralyzed from going into the promised land. For this reason, Christ died. I've always shared this. When we look forward, we look at a risen Savior. When we look back, we look at the cross. And so we have to always recognize that we have been forgiven. Now, if there's something that bothers you in your past, do your best to reconcile it. Don't just act like it doesn't exist. This is why Jesus said, if you take you go to the temple to pray and you haven't reconciled something, first go reconcile that with the person you've wronged and then come and make your supplication before God. Why is that? Because the thing is, see, God's more interested in our inspiration than he is our perspiration. He's more interested in that our hearts are right than what we might be doing for God. He wants to make sure our motive is right. You know, in heaven, the Bible says in the great Bema Seat judgment that our works as Christians will be tried by fire. the wood, the hay, the stubble, it burns up. But the precious things that remain, the things that were done with the right motive, will be rewarded for forever. Now, I look at that as important because, again, we want to make sure that we're not trying to placate a guilty conscience when God really wants us to do something else. I believe, again, the very word of the word Egypt to these brothers caused them to gawk at one another going, "Oh, no, dread upon us," he says. He said, "Indeed, I have heard that there's grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us there that we may live and not die." And that's true. Again, as we go back to that, they needed bread so they would live and not die. Jesus is our bread of life, that we partake of him. We remember in communion, Jesus held up the bread and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Jesus in the New Testament is a picture type of bread. Jesus said, "I was the bread that came down from heaven." When they were talking about Moses and the manna that came down, Jesus likened himself to that. So verse 3, it says, "So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brother, Benjamin, with his brothers, for he said, lest some calamity fall upon him." You know, the last time you were with your brother from Rachel, he disappeared. He got eaten, according to you, basically. And so if I send his real brother with you, something will probably happen to him too. Now, I don't know if this point that maybe Jacob was a little suspicious of his kids at this point. Very well could be. And so it says, "And so the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine was in the land of Canaan." Now Joseph was the governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came in and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. Now, you got to remember, dress like an Egyptian. No, I don't know. But probably Joseph had all the Egyptian garb on. And this is why his brothers didn't recognize him. We find those pictures sometimes of the pharaohs, and they had the headdress on and the adornment and all those things. And his brothers never in a billion years would ever think that who they were bowing to, just as his dream was, "You would be bowing down before me." So it says here that they did. And so Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them. Verse 7. "But he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then he said to them, 'Where do you come from?' And they said, 'From the land of Canaan to buy food.' So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them and said to them, 'You are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land.' And they said to him, 'No, my lord, but we are your servants and we've come to buy food. We are all one man's sons. We are honest men, your servants, and not spies.'" Really? Do you see anything wrong in this verse? They're looking at their brother that they don't recognize, that they sold into slavery, and they look at him and say, "We are honest men." I'm surprised Joseph didn't just bust out in laughter at this point. Yeah, right. But you see, Joseph was a true man of God. In fact, I've shared this before. There's only two people really in the Old Testament that didn't have some kind of a faux pas in their life. And that was Joseph and Daniel. And it is interesting to me that when we look at Joseph, Joseph realized God was bigger than the things going on in his life. And that's one of the things I harp a lot about, because we have the idea, woe is me, all things are against me, and so therefore God doesn't love me. Joseph had a lot of terrible things happen to him. We remember that he was rejected by his brothers. He was sold into slavery, the humiliation of it all. Then taken down to Egypt and auctioned off as a slave. Then we remember he ends up in Potiphar's house, where Potiphar's wife wrongly accuses him of rape. He ends up in prison for years, having done nothing wrong. You think you got problems? Well, I believe these things, as it says in the book of Job, or excuse me, the book of Jude, are written for our examples. Now, why is that? Because remembering, I think sometimes as a Christian, the greater the opposition is, the greater the reward will be in the end. And so when we look at this, you see that he went through all these things. They were all very terrible things. But as we read a couple of weeks ago, but the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Wait a minute. If the Lord's with Joseph, why is he going through all these terrible things, being falsely accused, finding himself in prison, being sold into slavery by his brothers? Where is God? Hey, friends, I talk to people all the time that abandon their faith in Christ because that's exactly what they say. Well, if God was really there, he would have done something. I did a funeral. I think I've shared this many times, but if you're new here, for your understanding of what it's like sometime to be a pastor, I've often told people, you either have to be called by God to be a pastor and really called, or you're crazy in the head. Because I remember I did a funeral. The first funeral I did was for a couple in our church, and their little baby had died. And I remember I was over in Filer, and I remember the hole in the ground and this little casket that was sitting there. And everybody was there. I had a kind of a long trench coat on because it was starting to snow. And it was cold and windy. And I remember praying, I said, God, I lived in Southern California. I surfed all the time. And I'm in a cemetery in the middle of February with this casket and everybody crying. And I go, God, this is awful. And then where was God when my child died? Where was God when my son died? And I didn't know what to say other than he's in the same place when his son died. I don't understand the reasons all things happen in life. But I know if we're faithful to God, he will see us through. And for this reason, Christ died, that looks so dismal, so dark, so unbelievably bad. Yet because of that, we all live because our sins are forgiven and he rose from the dead. And so as I look at this, we realize, he says, we are honest men. Oh, really? Isn't it weird what one person thinks is honest and another one doesn't? Were they honest men? No, they weren't. In fact, as we read on here, you'll see that. They said to him, no, my Lord, your servants, we have come to buy food. We're one man's sons. We are all honest men, servants, not spies. Verse 12. But he said to them, no, you have come to see the nakedness of the land. And they said, your servants are 12 brothers, the son of one man in the land of Canaan. In fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more. Imagine them looking at him saying, and the one is no more, the very one they're talking to. I often think about that. Again, a picture type of Christ in the Old Testament. I believe sometimes when we pray, we really don't realize who we're talking to. You know, I believe that when we pray, yes, he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Jesus says, henceforth, I'll no longer call you servants. I'm going to call you friends, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. In other words, it's in Jesus' good pleasure to clue you in on what's going to happen. I like that about God. That's what I like about biblical prophecy. But the thing is, because we belong to God and because we know him, I think sometimes there's an old saying called familiarity breeds contempt. You say, well, what's that mean? The more you're around something sometimes, the less respect you have for it. In other words, you'll find a lot of times people in the electrical world that are electricians, they have told me, they said, we get so used to working around electricity that we don't think that it can bite us because we're professionals. And he goes, we get whammed every once in a while. Well, that's the truth. And a lot of times, I think it's the way we are with God. Well, he's my big buddy upstairs. He's my friend that sticks closer than a brother. But somehow we can leave out the awesome respect we are to give to God because of who he is. We don't realize who we're talking to. Yes, he is our brother, the Bible says. But he's also God. And I think we must never forget that when we talk to our Father in heaven. That I want to be very careful in being trite in saying, oh God, you know, and just act like he's one of the boys, because he's not. He's God. And so saying, Lord, I don't want to forget who you are. I don't want to not recognize who you are in my life as you're my Savior and my Lord and my friend. Yes, he is your friend. But if all you know of him and all your prayers are only based upon a friendship level, hey, Jesus, what do you think about that? Hey, I like the red car. What do you like? You know, that kind of thing. Rather than, Lord, I'm here as a broken servant wanting to do your will. You show me what you want me to do, and that I will do for you. That is where I believe the real oneness and the real connection between you, our God, is where he begins to commune with us. I think it's so extremely important. So he goes on and he says here, he goes, and he said to him, the 12 brothers, and one is no more. But Joseph said to them, as I spoke to you saying, you are spies. And in this matter, you will be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you, let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be tested to see whether there's any truth in who you are, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you're spies. So he put them all together in prison for 3 days. Now, again, we find 3 days. It's interesting. Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. Then Joseph said to them on the third day, do this and live, for I fear God. If you are honest men, let one of your brothers be confined in prison house, but you go carry grain to the famine of your houses and bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified and you shall not die. And they did so. And they said to one another, and I like this, verse 21, we are truly guilty concerning our brother, for we saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us, literally, not to sell him into slavery, and we would not listen to him. Therefore, this distress has come upon us. Wow. Guilty conscience bubbles up. This is all happening because of what we did to Joseph. Isn't it interesting that even though the years go by, if there's unresolved issues in a person's life, when things start going awry, a person will begin to say, hey, I believe this is why this is happening. And I'm not so sure that that's not the case. Sometimes I believe it is, actually, because the Bible says you reap what you sow. And here we find, and I believe that 3 days in an Egyptian prison would get your attention. I really think it would. Especially when that was the last thing that they thought would happen to them when they went to Egypt. I'm going to plunk my money down. I'm going to get my grain. See you later. Instead, they find themselves being accused of being spies, finding themselves in prison for 3 days, all these brothers together, and they're all powwowing together saying, this has come upon us because we are rats. Yeah, because you weren't honest men, were you? But you know, I find something interesting. That's why the Bible warns about those who maketh and loveth a lie. That's old King James for they're habitual liars. Why is that? Because, you know, there's an old saying, tell a lie, tell it long enough, and you'll begin to believe it. Well, you will, but your conscience won't. And you can rationalize stuff in your life. And I'll tell you, friends, we have dirty souls. And I believe heavy, dirty souls sometimes because of the things that have gone on in our life. Those things that echo in our conscience of the things that we've done wrong. No doubt the things that people have done to you bother you as well. But I think also those things that we have done to others. Now, see, this is one of the reasons why I believe the teaching of the entirety of God's word is so important. Because I believe through the scripture, God comes through with his giant magnifying glass and a flashlight and shines on our hearts and says, look, you're my people. I don't want you to have heavy, dirty souls. I want you to be free in me so you'll be freed up, so you'll be able to do what the kingdom of God, what God wants you to do.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, you can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store, or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening, and tune in next time for It's Time.